Stand by for action. We are about to launch Stingray.
Stingray.
Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, we got you.
Awesome. Hello, guys.
Hey, good to see you again.
Yeah, you as well.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, and you probably do too, as usual, but why don't we just cut to the chase? I thought first we'd just congratulate you on your engagement. I saw that a couple months ago pop up on social media.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been the highlight of the year so far, so I figured I don't really care about how the racing season goes. I'm going to start it off right. That way I can focus on having fun the rest of the year. So it's been good.
Yeah. And also, you know, obviously a very new environment for you with a full-time ride with AJ Foyt Racing. Congratulations on that as well. It's big news, even though that news is now a few months old. But, you know, we're just getting started on the season and kind of curious, how does that feel different than last year's, you know, arrangement with Coin and how so?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think the biggest thing is them being in Indianapolis versus Chicago. So it's super helpful for me because Indianapolis is home for me now. So I get to go into the shop and meet with the guys and just hang out and be annoying to them every once in a while, which is still kind of nice for myself, just because I think people underestimate in racing the value in relationships, as far as just knowing each other and being able to work well with each other. So my goal this year was to start ahead of time, ahead of the season, you know, kicking off, to be able to be in there and build some camaraderie with those guys. So it's been super helpful.
Building off of that a little bit, you know, we aren't far into the season yet. We had the tested thermal and the competition side of it. And then, but really we've just had the one points paying race at St. Pete. So, you know, having gotten to know the team a little bit in the off season and everything, then getting to St. Pete, only getting a third of the way in, talk about, I guess, just the first, you know, how the beginning of the season has gone from your perspective.
Yeah, I think St. Pete was good. We did have that brake issue after that first stint there. And so that was where the issue happened on like lap 32 or 36, whatever that was. And so that was disappointing. But I think that that was something that was actually happening throughout the weekend. We had some unsolvable brake drag for whatever reason. And so after the weekend, once we had that mechanical failure, we took it back to the shop and they immediately found the part that was messed up and were able to diagnose it and fix it. So that was frustrating, just because I felt like St. Pete, we actually had decent speed. Had it not been for that, you know, we could see on the speed traces where I was down a little bit here and there. And but I felt like that was the first time where I was comfortable in the car enough to really push. And so it was good. And I think going to the race, we were moving forward. We had one pit stop and we went forward on that pit stop. So I was really proud of the guys, just because that wasn't something that we had a lot of last year. And so for myself, I was like, that was a win all in itself. Everyone got to see a live pit stop in the first race of the year. We didn't hit a wall. We kept the car together in one piece, minus the braking issue, but that wasn't a big deal. And so it hurts on the point side of things, but for myself, I think that we're in a good spot to build off of for the rest of the year. There's a lot of new guys on the team, that's on the engineering and mechanic side. So the team has a lot of turnover, which is unfortunate, because I think that they have some great leadership in there. And I think that in the last couple of years, they've done a good job to retain those key employees. And so I think that it'll continue to build momentum throughout the season, just because we're learning each other. They're learning how to operate as a team, and they're learning kind of the bumps in the road and how the processes need to be and the systems that need to be in place. And so I'm happy with where we are and where we're going.
So you bring up a good point about all the turnover on the team and everything. We just talked to your teammate Santino a couple weeks ago about, well, we talked to him extensively about that actually, and how it's changed. It sounds like the partnership with Penske has changed, not just like, you know, an exchange of data from team to team, but really the way the Foyt team approaches an entire race weekend. So I'd imagine though that your perspective might be a little bit different than his, because this is your first season with the team. This is his second. So, I mean, do you kind of feel like you're learning, you know, and growing with the team in that sense? And I guess also, while we're on the topic, how are you chilling with Santino so far?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it is like how you said, I'm kind of learning and growing with the team in that sense, just because we're all trying to find the same direction, right? So part of the deal with bringing in new engineers and new mechanics and all that is that they have a system that they're used to. They have a philosophy that they're used to. But Penske also has their system and philosophy, and Foyt has their own system and philosophy. And so we're trying to figure out, okay, out of these three options, how do we merge the best pieces of each one into a correct platform? And it's honestly, it can be overwhelming, I think, for a team that's smaller like we are. But at the same time, there's so much value in that extensive knowledge and experience that once we do kind of find that target, I think that we'll be in a good spot. So I think for myself, I've noticed that there's a lot for me to learn because of this. Being new in the series last year, there's a big step up in the IndyCar from Indy Next or even the Road to Indy series, just in technology standpoint, also just in the different things and expectations that go on around IndyCar. And so having different perspectives from those three different sides and having to be able to ask, hey, what do you guys think of this? What do you think of this? It's been very valuable for me. And then obviously Santino has been a big part of that as well, because he's a veteran of the series at this point. He was with the team last year. He kind of got to see this transition into a new role, but he's very fun and he's easy to like, but he is definitely Santino Ferrucci. He has his own personality. He has his own identity, and it's been really good so far. I think that, or at least I hope that Santino and I will have a good friendship in the future, just because the start of it's been good so far.
Yeah, I could see that. So, you know, you mentioned the importance of just getting the experience, and you did have a full season under your belt from last year, which was it's big, right? I mean, last year at Long Beach, I don't think in any of the lower formulas you'd ever been on that track. So you've got that full race under your belt, you know, getting used to all the cockpit tools, managing tires and fuel and all that kind of, I guess you managed tires before, I guess, in Indy Next and things like that, but there's just so much more to it now. And even though you've switched teams, I mean, that experience it still rides with you. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So how important do you think, you know, that is going to be to you this year to be able to at least fall back on, you know, have been a race at basically every track rather, except Milwaukee, obviously, but, you know, second time around.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be way better. And like you said, there are some tracks that we go to where in the Road to Indy, I kind of had expectations of what it was going to feel like just from driving there and racing there before, but being in an IndyCar, it's a different ballgame. And so my expectations going into the season definitely changed a lot in comparison to where I was a year ago. And I think that last year, I kind of felt like I got thrown to the wolves a little bit, thrown to the deep end of the pond there. But, you know, I think that it's just one of those things where you got to sink or swim a little bit. And this year, I feel like I'm doing a much better job of understanding what I need to do as a driver, what I need to do with the team, what does the team need to do. And we're trying to build a program around that. And so I think Long Beach will be a good test to see where we're at. And I don't mean test as an on-track test, but just kind of a trial to see what it'll be like at a track that I've been to in IndyCar before, done a full stint at, and that the team has had good experience at and good knowledge based on past experience from the teams that have kind of poured into their experience now. So I think we're all looking forward to Long Beach with some anticipation, because Santino had a great race at St. Pete. We feel like our street course car has gotten better and better. And we've kind of settled on a philosophy that will help us fine tune rather than go searching at the beginning of the race weekend, which is so important because we're limited a lot on race weekends on how much seat time we really get. And it's the same in any ladder series, right? Like we don't get a lot of free race time, but in IndyCar, any time that you get to do laps on a track is so, so vital, because we spend so much time in the offseason just sitting and waiting. And so any time that we're able to try something new or settle on a philosophy and then fine tune it, it can be a matter of a couple tenths, but that's huge in IndyCar. I mean, the field is so tight and like everyone's there for a reason. There are no slouches in IndyCar these days. And so any small advantage that you can gain, any little tip or trick that you can find, it's worth $1 million. So
how much is transferable then from tracks where you have raced on before in lower series? Obviously, IndyCar is a big step up from Indy Lights, but having physically gone through all the corners, you know, over and over again in lower category cars, physically felt the bumps of the tracks and everything, how much can you take with you up into the IndyCar and into the full size IndyCar, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it correlates a little bit. depending on the track. St. Pete is probably one that correlates pretty well just because the speeds are relatively low, so you don't see the big aerodynamic advantage. But at the same time, dampers are completely different. Wheelbase is completely different. Tires are different. Weight's different. And so that all plays into the sort of feeling that you get from the car. When you're braking, how does it rotate? All that kind of stuff. And what do you need from the car? I mean, my most recent experience is Indy Next. And I think more recently, I've been able to separate the driving style and also the setup style that needs to happen in order to gain the speed out of the car just because of the way they're designed. They're both a Dallara chassis, but that does not mean that they have the same characteristics. I think that Indy Next was a much lighter chassis and it had good downforce. It had decent power. So the characteristics of that were that much more of a formula type car, whereas the Indy car has kind of gone towards a heavier, more maybe more sports car like driving style. And I think that that's just because of the aero screen. You're looking at things that have just been bolted onto the car in recent years that add weight. And add performance in some aspects and add safety and all those things that we want to see. But at the same time, that's compromising what the tire load can handle. And so there's a different balance there. And that feel changes how a track feels, I mean, overall. And so, yeah, there might be tendencies that I see like, okay, St. Pete, we're going to roll off the truck and there's going to be no grip. I mean, there's no one that gets to race there. And so we're going to tune the car so that we don't get behind when it comes to race time. Right. So we want to start with a very loose car at the beginning of the race weekend, but as the weekend comes to a close, it'll probably be an understeery car just because the way the track progresses. And so there's things like that that will correlate and carry over. But when it comes to driving it and actually feeling what's going on behind the wheel, it'll be completely different.
So speaking of feeling the wheel at St. Pete, you mentioned you got a couple spots on that first pit stop, but we couldn't really tell. Neither one of Michael and I weren't at the race. And so we don't get to see everything we want to see, but we went back and looked at the timing and scoring and some replays. And it looked like when you came out of the pits, you were in a pretty heated battle. You had just made a position on Colin Braun in the 51, which was your old car. And then you were about ready to jump on Harvey, which was the other team car. At that point, did you feel like you were sort of hooked up and ready to go on the green tires? Or was it just too early in the stint?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because it was one of those races where the tire compound had changed a little bit from last year with the Firestone predicting the hybrid system coming in. So they wanted to get a head start on that and seeing what that would be like. But we didn't know if it was going to be a black dominant race or a green dominant race. And so we were seeing in that first stint, you know, how does this kind of shake out? And honestly, the first stint would have been really great. The yellow came out a lap too early for us. We were getting ready to pit. And had we put it, we would have been cycled to the front. And so I think that would have been really, really good for us. But the guys in front of me were all on green tires in the first stint. We were on blacks, totally running on behind them and feeling really good. So I think had the roles reversed, we would have been challenging and moving spots even more. And like you said, I was able to get Braun. I was able to get Fittipaldi. I was able to get getting ready to pass Harvey when the failure happened. But that was really good. And I think that was good for the team's confidence as well as my confidence, just to have that little stint. I mean, like I said, it's little things in any car, and just having that little extra bit to go, okay, yeah, we did that, was really good. And I think one thing that's unique to this year is that it's going to change halfway through the season as well with the hybrid system coming in, right? So like we're building this momentum, and then in the halfway point, we're going to start it all over again, and we're going to try and see what it's like. But that's the beauty of any car. You got to be the best every weekend, but that means adapting every weekend.
All right. So speaking of the hybrid, have you had a chance to test a little bit with the hybrid, correct?
I did.
I'm trying to imagine what it actually feels like in the cockpit. Are you just pressing buttons and things like that, waiting for it to kick in? Does it feel a lot different, or is it just sort of a smooth automation into, like, how does it work from the cockpit?
The integration, I think, was very good. It's my first time driving any sort of vehicle with a hybrid system in it on a racetrack. So there was a lot going on, I think, behind the wheel that was like driver assistance and all that stuff that we haven't had before. And so I think that it will play a lot into the drivability. And having that be in the driver's hands, I think, is a really cool thing just because it allows the guys that are good at it to be good at it and the guys that aren't, not. And so it's a cool thing, and it changes the way the car handles depending on how you use that tool, and is a lot to learn in a half a day like I had. But I think that as the season goes on and we get used to the system, it'll become muscle memory, like changing bars, changing weight jackers, all that stuff. And it'll just become another tool in the cockpit, which is nice.
So how do you feel about getting it mid-season?
I think that it's much better to get it later in the year than when we were initially looking at beginning of the season, because we wanted to make sure the product was good. First off, we want to make sure that the reliability was good, but also having good knowledge to like not have to make a lot of changes during the season, right? Like there's so many different ways that you can run a hybrid system. You can recharge in different ways. You can in different ways. You can deploy in different ways. And so having kind of a more nuanced perspective, I think is helpful based off of all that seat time that we've got from drivers kind of in this first half of the year that we wouldn't have had if we just introduced it right away. So I think it's a good thing. And I think waiting another half a year wouldn't be wise either. I think that the sooner we get it in there, the better. But at the same time, we want to make it as good as it can be before we get it in. So I think it's a good balance, but at the same time, it's a bit unique of a situation just with it being halfway through the year.
Yeah. So not sure what it's going to look like from, you know, a fan's perspective or observer's perspective, if it's going to look any different at all or sound different. But one thing that I've read that is clearly going to be different is that there should be enough power in the storage unit to restart in case of a stall. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. And we got to see that happen at the racetrack. It was actually pretty cool because that was something that we did during the test day, was just, hey, how does this restart system work? And I think it was the MSR car that was in front of us, and they did it out of the pit box. You know, he kind of did like a fake stall out of the pit box and fired it back up. So that's really nice. I'm very excited about that. I think it'll add to the racing a lot less cautions, all that stuff.
Yeah, we're not big fans of the cautions, especially, and I get why they have to happen, right? You got a stalled car on the track. You got to get it out of there. But we're fans of just keeping it green as much as possible. And I feel like this, hopefully.
You want the racer to race.
Absolutely. Really.
And this is what it is allowing us to do.
That's going to be a good development.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, shifting to a slightly different topic here. One thing I'm curious about, since, you know, IndyCar has notoriously pretty long off season, and then we start in St. Pete, but pretty big break between St. Pete and Thermal, and then another couple weeks before we get to Long Beach. So what sort of things do you do to stay sharp at the wheel when you don't actually get to have a lot of seat time? I mean, you ever getting back in a kart, or are you into any iRacing or running simulators or anything like that?
Yeah, I think that for myself, I've underestimated the value that comes from iRacing just because it's brain training, right? We do the physical training at the gym, and we do the reaction training and all that stuff. And my faith is that got the spiritual training, but the mental training, I think being able to adapt quickly in the car is such a unique part of driving an IndyCar. And so the iRacing may not give you the direct correlation of like, hey, you need to brake at this point, you need to turn in at this point, whatever, with the IndyCar. But just more of the idea of being behind the wheel and in the seat, racing against other guys, seeing that perspective and dealing with sort of the anxiety that comes during a race, right? And so it's just building up that, I don't know what you would call it, but the mental strength to be able to adapt quickly when you get into a race weekend. Like, no one's going to be in a better position than the person that spends the most time in the seat, right? You cannot beat experience, in my mind, at least. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talented guys, but let's take Max Verstappen, for example. He's a great simulator driver, but he's also a great Formula One driver. And I think that he could be a great Formula One driver without being a great simulator driver, and vice versa, right? But they complement each other in so many ways. And I think that he's able to pull one from the other. And like I said, I underestimated it a lot. So that's something I've been working on lately. And it's kind of silly, but like even driving something and racing something as simple as an F1600 car on iRacing, I've found value in, just because it's something that I get to do during that time off when I wouldn't be able to do anything. I mean, otherwise I'm sitting at home cooking dinner and going rock climbing. I mean, there's just not a lot of seat time that I can spend other than virtually.
So yeah, speaking of leisure time then, well, the opposite, I guess. I was always curious, and I know different drivers have different requirements or whatever, but the business side of it, you know, you've got to go out and, I assume, go out and find sponsorship and then do all the proper PR and stuff like that for the sponsor. Now you've got a brand new sponsor, Pray.com. I don't know if you went and found them or if they found you because they know that how strong faith, you know, the role that faith plays in your life and your career, or did you have to just go out and, you know, pound the streets and find that sponsor? And also, you know, what just curious about the relationship with Pray.com and racing and just, you know, how you've gotten them involved.
So yeah, I mean, during the off season, that was a big goal of ours, was to find some backing that was going to allow us to stay in IndyCar as well as kind of support our off track mission. Right. And so you guys know this about me, but my faith is a big part of who I am and who I want to be. Having a sponsor, a partner like Pray.com is super impactful on and off the racetrack, just because it allows me to live my passion out of racing and have that platform to use, but also that pours into the off-track mission as well. So we were pounding the streets, just trying to find someone that kind of fit the bill in that sense, that would kind of be that whole package for us. And so we kind of mutually found each other through networking, because that's the way things go. I mean, in this world, it takes more than just the on-track performance in order to stay in IndyCar these days. So that networking was me, it was my team, my managers, friends, family, investors. It was everyone. I have a big team around me that believe in what I'm doing and who I am and the mission that we're serving. And so that's how we got the Pray.com deal done. But it's a bit of a unique deal because it's not a very, how would you say, traditional. It's not a traditional sponsorship, right? And so part of that is them leveraging their platform with our platform. And so they have a lot of viewers on their Pray.com app. And so we're trying to use that crowd and that access to gain us more access into other ways. And so they're very smart guys. They're business savvy guys over there. And so they're doing a lot behind the scenes as much as we are. And so it's kind of a cool partnership to be able to kind of learn both perspectives of the business world and the racing business world, and how do those kind of cross over. And so I know they're excited about having their name on the side of a car. And I personally love the way the car looks. I think that we've gotten more compliments this year than ever before, just because that chrome gold, it just flashes. It looks so good.
I'm looking forward to seeing it in person this weekend. I'm going to make it out to Long Beach, actually. It'll be the first time I've been to that race since the early 90s, or I don't know, a long time, way before you guys were born. So I can't wait to see it in person.
It's awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing you. Yeah, please come check out the car. It looks pretty sharp in person.
So I guess while we have a few more minutes left, I guess what sort of expectations do you have for yourself entering the Long Beach weekend? Last season ended on a pretty high note at Laguna. You know, things looked like they were going well at St. Pete before the mechanical failure finally caught up to you. So yeah, I guess expectations, mindset, you know, we're less than a week away.
I think I've set a goal for myself for the Long Beach weekend to qualify in the top 15. That's something I haven't done yet in IndyCar. And so that's a track that you need to qualify well. I mean, it's really hard to make up positions unless there's some sort of off strategy. But even then, the strategy there doesn't change much, even with crazy yellows or whatever else may happen. So I think just positioning ourselves early in the weekend and staying consistent. I don't want to do any big yard sale car changes. I think that for myself, I just want to settle in and I want to learn as much as I can as a driver and work on myself a lot, because I know that there's a lot of time there that can be underestimated and undervalued throughout a race weekend. And especially on a bumpy street course like Long Beach, that's so unique and unlike anything else we go to. I think that it's a lot up to who's behind the wheel and what tools do they have in their toolbox to go to work with. So yeah, qualifying inside the top 15, good expectations for the race as well. I think that we're going to probably have a better race car than we do qualifying car, just based off of what I've seen so far and what I know of myself. I think that we do pretty well on tires compared to some other guys. I think that the hardest thing for us will be sort of the lesser stint strategy. It seems like the Chevy versus Honda campaign is still very, very aggressive this year. Chevy's made some good gains during the offseason, but I think when it comes to fuel mileage, Honda still maybe has a little bit of an edge, but I think the Chevy's got more power. So it's a little bit of a trade-off and just kind of depends on what we got for a package going into the race weekend. But just from what I've seen so far, I'm interested to see what it's like at Long Beach compared to St. Petersburg.
Okay, well, great. Hey, listen, we really appreciate you coming back on with us. definitely wish you the best of luck this weekend in Long Beach. I'll be there pulling for you in person. And of course, obviously the rest of the season. Yeah, Michael, anything else while we still got Stingray?
I don't think so.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, hey, we're going old school with the music today. The intro was the theme song from an old TV show from 1964 called Stingray. It's like a puppet animatron kind of show, like the Thunderbirds. And then for the outro, we're going to go old school early surf band Jan and Dean, and also from early 60s, 1963. And this song is also called Stingray.